Guess what, fellas? The boys are buzzing because hockey is back. Want to know what else is buzzing? The Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Don't get chirped this year for having a disaster below the waist. Join the Manscaped movement for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HAYES, that's HAYES, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
Another shot deflects and scores! And it's 1-0 Pittsburgh. And it's 2-1 Pittsburgh. A deflection in front of Campbell, and it is 3-1. Make it 4.
But 5-1.
And it's 6-1. I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is the Wilkes-Barre farm team, and a shot scores from the high slot. Make it 7-1.
The mood ain't great. You lose like that, it's not a good mood. But it's early in the season. It's a test for us. And let's see how we respond.
Let's see indeed, Jake Muzzin. It's a dark and gloomy day, Al's brother in Toronto. I woke up early. I was telling you beforehand, I woke up real early. 6 a.m. wake up, went to a 6:45 spin class, and I walked to spin class, and it's right at King West, and it was dark, the streets were empty, it was raining. It feels like a pretty good day for the Leafs to have to respond to a dismal weekend. This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julia Tashiri from Bar Down. I've got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano from Overdrive with me as always, and yeah, not a lot to unpack today on Leafs Lunch after that weekend, hey, B?
Yeah, no, it was that was a deflating weekend. I mean, Leafs Nation's in absolute disarray. I think we got a poll up on our Leafs Lunch Twitter page here asking, like, what's your level of concern here? You guys, what did it say? At what point are we hitting the panic button? 49.7% have already hit the button. 37% Man. Thinks it's a little too early. And then 12% say if they lose tonight, then they're hitting the button. You can still go vote over at the Leafs Lunch Twitter page. But I'm getting close to it. I think my vote would be like tonight. If they lose tonight, then it's a four-alarm fire at this point. Take a look at this weekend. Like, they're coming off. They lose 5-3 to San Jose. San Jose was playing their third game in four nights, the second game of a back-to-back, and yeah, they had just played against a tough Ottawa squad. You would have assumed that Toronto should have came out firing and came out on top and really got the ball rolling early. They didn't. They didn't score the first goal, and that's been a huge plague for them so far this season. They're not getting off to good starts, and it's just like carrying into the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Then the following night, even worse. It went from bad to worse. They go out and get jobbed by what Joe Bowen said, essentially the Wilkes-Barre Scranton
a
AHL squad.
A penguinless Pittsburgh Penguins team.
Legitimately, like, how do you go in and lose 7-1 to a Pittsburgh Penguins team who were without Sidney Crosby, Geo Malkin, Chris Letang, Brian Rust, and Jeff Carter, and you go out and you get jobbed by guys like Drew O'Connor.
Who is that? He kept scoring goals. I was like, who are you?
And
why are you scoring on the Leafs multiple times?
Evan Rodriguez looking like Mario Lemieux out there.
Yeah.
It was an embarrassing effort. And, Leafs now falling below 500 on the season early on. And it's been a tough, tough go. I don't know if you saw this on Thursday or on Friday, but we've already had our first Leafs jersey toss it onto the ice.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to say about that. That's just like a little much to me. And it just bleeds of Toronto. Yeah,
but that's how fed up of this team that the fan base already
is. I'm going to go with that was a bit of an attention stunt. I don't know. I'm not into jersey throwing. And I also don't have $200 to throw on the ice at any point in my life.
So that is true.
So, yeah, I don't know, but a jersey toss that this early in the season, but definitely concerning the weekend that we just saw from the Leafs.
Yeah, and like, just nothing seems to be going right. They gave up 12 goals. The power play's not clicking. Nothing's going right for them. Mitch Marner still pointless since the first game of the season, and that was a secondary assist at that. Mitch Marner, and we just saw, actually, the lines just came out, and it's looking like Sheldon Keefe bringing out the blender. Michael Bunting moving up to play with Matthews and Nylander. Kerfoot now with Tavares and Marner. So Sheldon Keefe needs to get these guys going, and breaking them up is, looks to be the way that he's going to try and get that done. Now, will it happen tonight against Carolina remains to be seen, but I appreciate the fact that he's finally made a change here. We saw it late in the third period against Pittsburgh. He was trying so many different combinations just to get something going.
Tough spot for Sheldon, too, just because Matthews, obviously, that was just his third game. So it's hard to kind of measure Matthews the same way that you're measuring Mitch, in that Mitch has a couple extra games to show for and to measure off of. I totally agree with splitting them up right now, but it's a tough situation to pull them off that line right now because you haven't seen much of Matthews and Marner yet.
You haven't, but what we have seen hasn't worked, and it's a carryover from the playoffs. Let's bring in Johnny in, right? Mike Johnson on the phone, TSN Hockey Insider. Johnny, we saw today that Sheldon Keefe is changing up the lines here. Do you think it's a little too early to be taking Marner off Matthews' wing, or do you like the move?
No, I don't think it's too early. I know they've had great success, obviously. Incredible years last year, like historically great years for Toronto Maple Leafs. But, you know, line mates, lines are not set in stone. And they'll come back to each other. Sometimes things get stale. Sometimes things aren't working. You need a different look and keep things fresh. And right now, even though Austin's only been back for, you know, a little bit, you know, it hasn't really been very effective. The first game was really good, but after that, not so much. I think Mitch is still doing a lot of good things, and there's probably a little bit of last year's playoffs and the disappointment that everyone is feeling. Like, one of the conversations about the Leafs heading in this year is, you know, how would they deal with the disappointment? How would they deal with the year knowing that however they do, it doesn't likely matter until they get to the playoffs, and then they will be judged on whether this year is successful or not? And I get a sense that, you know, that is still lingering, which is normal. It's human, but that kind of still lingering over this team, that, you know, how disappointed we were last year and kind of how we're going to manage to navigate through this year. And, you know, the weekend was a rough one. Now, before everyone panics and throws jerseys on the ice.
Yeah, this is why I was looking forward to having you on. I know you're just a good logical voice.
Take a breath. They're 2-3-1. Colorado, Toronto, Vegas, they're all like in the bottom 7-8 teams in the league. Are they going to be there? And Tampa, sorry, I'll throw the defending champs in there. Yeah. Those four teams. Are they going to be there when season ends? Very, very, very unlikely. So yes, it's okay to be frustrated. Yes, you want more. Yes, we haven't seen enough out of the power play, and you know the top guys haven't necessarily scored. But they're played better than their results. Not this weekend, but generally speaking, they've not been atrocious this year, and they will be better. But having said all that, I don't mind them changing lines. Don't have to let these guys ride it out for weeks at a time. Switch it up, and they'll get back together at some point down the road.
Wait, are we the first people you get to talk to about this weekend? I was thinking that. I was like, oh man, has MJ talked to anyone else about this weekend, or do we get his first thoughts?
You get my first thoughts on TSN radio,
nice.
Sure, yeah.
Nice. Okay, Mitch Marner, we were just talking about him. No points, we know that, in his last five games. Everybody's talking about him. Matthews, too, yet to find the score sheet. Talent is obviously there with the Leafs. Like, that's not really a question. Does it seem like confidence is more the issue with Marner specifically? Is this carryover that we're seeing from that Habs series last year?
Perhaps. I mean, I think he started the year confident. I think the first few games were pretty good. He had lots of chances individually and as well as his teammates. He, you know, they chances that would otherwise usually go in. And so that, you know, as players, we told ourselves forever, like, don't worry about when you don't score. Worry about when you don't get chances. And I don't think he would have to anything to worry about the first 3-4 games. Now, this weekend was not good. It was just flat out not good for anybody. And so I don't know if it's confidence, but I do think, you know, Mitch, fairly unfairly, and some of it was unfairly, like, he carried a lot this summer. Like, he dealt with a lot.
Yeah, he did.
A guy who was first team all league, like, literally the best winger at his position in the NHL last year. And, you know, a lot of people criticizing him and questioning him and more than maybe he deserved. And he's human. That sticks with you. And so I bet he probably feels a bit of the weight of that disappointment, of the expectations, of the criticism, and all of it. And he can cancel his social media, and he can ignore my voice and everyone else's. And that's totally fair and normal. But his parents can't, and his friends can't, and his family can't, and his girlfriend or fiance can't. I mean, like, those people hear it. Like, they're around it, they hear it, and it sucks. It sucks when you have to go through that. So I think he probably is dealing with some of that, which will go away, I hope, and assume, when he starts scoring, which he will. But I do think he's probably, you know, still processing all of that stuff right now.
In conversation with Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. Johnny, I mean, obviously this weekend was an absolute mess from San Jose, and then went from bad to worse in Pittsburgh. A lot of things went wrong, but what was kind of most concerning to you watching the games this weekend?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think certainly the inability of Matthews and Marner to generate in the slot,
yeah,
5-on-5. I mean, it's okay if they don't score because these are so good that rarely happens. But, you know, when they don't get chances, they don't really have that kind of flow and pace and dynamicism to their game. That's concerning because that was almost always there. And then couple that with the power play, to me, it's been a focal point. It should be. It cost them that playoff series in many ways last spring, summer, whenever it was. And new coach, new system, new roles, and it's not looked good. Now, Austin's just gotten back, but even still, the first unit doesn't look cohesive, organized, any of the things you want to see out of a power play. So that, to me, is very concerning. And then the last one, and he has been so good. Like, so good. Anywhere he's played, whoever he's played with have been awesome, but Jake Muzzin,
yeah,
has not been his normal self to start this year. I don't know if it's injury. I don't know what's going on. I mean, but all I know is that the results that he was piling up game after game after game the last couple seasons, that's not been there. He's been, and when he's been on the ice, scoring chances, goals, high danger chances, shots, all have been tilted in a very unusual fashion. And that might be a bigger concern because, like, I trust Matthews will score. I trust Marner will get the points. Like, I want to trust that Jake Muzzin and Justin Hall will figure it out and lock it in. But if they don't, then that is a massive, massive problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the play of that second pair has been hasn't been great this year, and that was something that coming into the season, Jake Muzzin being that steady force was something that you really kind of relied on and thought, okay, well, at least we know what we're going to get from Jake Muzzin. It just hasn't been the case. But one other thing that really stood out to me that was a bit of a concerning trend through the weekend was the poor transition into their own end. 5 goals coming off the rush in Pittsburgh, and all coming off of turnovers and blown coverage plays. Like, their defensive structure has just completely gone away too.
And yet, that was something they were really good at last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, people don't realize that the Leafs were in a, you know, kind of above average defensive team last year. So that is strange. Now, a lot of the goals that went in, like off shin pads and off random sticks and, you know, some luck component to it. But you're right. I mean, I think when you're not scoring and the Leafs aren't scoring right now, the one kind of staple and consistent part to your game, and I can say this about the Montreal Canadiens, I can say this about a lot of teams, like the defense should be pretty consistent because that just has to do with like mental engagement, physical exertion, and like and commitment. And that stuff is a bit easier to bring every night than, you know, high-skilled plays that result in goals. So yeah, that is a concern. But again, that goes back to Muzzin and Hall and how they're playing going, you know, right now and in their own end. And also the Leafs maybe forcing pucks a little bit because you talk about turnovers and then, you know, that resulting counterattack opportunities. That's puck management. That's decision-making. When you're trying to create offense because you're desperate to try to make a difference on the positive, sometimes you make poor decisions forcing things and they end up going back the other way.
We've got Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst, on the phone. Okay, let's start to look ahead a little bit, Mike. Tough weekend for the Leafs. We all know it. But this is kind of interesting for the Leafs as well. Salt on the wound, the Leafs' exes in Zach Hyman and Freddie Anderson thriving right now. Freddie's undefeated 4-0, .944 save percentage. He struggled a little bit last season in Toronto. well, I guess the above average defensive team kind of answers this question, but why do you think he's having so much early success this season?
He's a good goalie and he's healthy.
Yeah.
And he plays for Carolina.
Yeah, you put I guess all, it helps when you
put
have
all
those
that
guys.
Together. But I mean, like, you know, we heard kind of lingering stuff with Freddie last year all year long. He was in and out of the lineup and out a lot. If you watched that Amazon show, you got a sense of the frustration that he was feeling.
Yep.
And that the organization was certainly feeling with his inability to kind of get healthy and get right. And so, you know, you can't discount what good health will do for a guy who's talented. So, I think that more than anything. And then, you know, Carolina's a good team. So he's going to get lots of support, both goals and defensively. And I'm not surprised. I mean, undefeated, I don't know. But, like, I expect him to be good in Carolina because a lot, like, James Reimer has been good the last several years in Carolina. And yeah. Mrazek has been good. Like, they're a good team. They support their goaltender as well. And Freddie's been a good goalie. So not that surprising with him. And for Zach, listen, he's got, like, every goal he scores is assisted by Connor McDavid. Not to diminish what he's doing, but, like, you know, he's landed in a great spot. He's on the power play getting backdoor tap-ins. He's a good player doing the same things he did in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is any big, oh, my God, look at him thriving outside Toronto. Like, he thrives in Toronto. He's playing, unbelievably enough, with better players in Edmonton than he was in Toronto offensively anyway. So, not surprising that he's fit in there. Not surprising he's potting goals. And I don't think that's an indictment of Toronto's decision. Like, a lot of guys can go play with Connor McDavid and have their stats look pretty good.
Staying on the topic of this Carolina game tonight, the Leafs always say the right things after they lose. You heard Mitch Marner say we didn't do a lot of things right tonight. You heard Jake Muzzin say we didn't do a lot of things right tonight. And they always say we have to bounce back. But it's starting to feel a little bit like Groundhog Day. You know how well-trained those guys are to talk to the media on a team like Toronto. Dealing with adversity, how are you expecting this Toronto team to bounce back tonight?
I expect them to be much better. I mean, they're a good team. They have good players. Yeah. And so I expect them to be good. Like, now, if you're, like, I don't think they're, like, I don't think they should be favored to win this game. Like, I think if you look at the odds, his brother looked them up for me. If you look at the odds, I'm sure Carolina is favorite. Like, I'm sure they're minus 140 or something. Like,
actually, it was they're both at minus 110. So it's actually, like, completely even.
So
I was surprised, too.
Yeah.
Wow. That is surprising.
Yeah, I feel better about the Leafs in a game like tonight than I do in a game against Chicago. Like, why is that with the Leafs? They have these weird tendencies to lose these trap games, it seems.
I would say don't do that. You should feel worse about tonight's game than you should about Chicago.
Well,
Chicago's been terrible.
Yeah,
totally. But that's what I mean, is that they have this weird tendency to play to the ability of their opponent.
Well, I think this is we kind of had this conversation earlier, and Johnny, you know, I'd like for you to weigh in on this, but it seems like they play up to their opponents and they play down to their opponents. This has been a trend, really, for the last few seasons with this club, and I'm curious what you think about this. How much of that is due to a lack of identity, and like, how does that hinder this team?
I mean, didn't they finish like, you know, like a 105-point pace last year and won the division?
Yeah, but they went out and they lost games to, like, a bunch of games to Ottawa that they should have won. There was that game coming off of Vancouver where they were supposed to roll them after not playing for like 25 days, and they laid an egg.
It's weird games, totally.
It's the NHL. Like, this is what happens. Like, the best teams don't win all. It's not basketball. There's no 72-10 teams. Like, you lose to teams that you're supposed to beat all the time. You could be well-rested. They could be coming off a back-to-back like San Jose, who's not supposed to be good, and you could play bad, or the goalie could play well, or the power play may not come. Like, I think it's a little bit, you know, there's something there, but I don't think there's a lot there. Mm. You know, like, I think if anything, if I was going to be, you know, dig deep and try to find a reason for this, I don't think I'd say identity. Like, I think Toronto knows who they were. Maybe they're figuring out this year, but, like, I think they know who they were last year and the way they want to play. And they were a really good defensive team that attacked and wanted to be creative and possess the puck. That's their identity. Like, you don't, like you can have an identity of just being a good team that has the puck. Like, you know, your identity doesn't have to be physical or defensive. Like, you can just be like, we want the puck and we go to score. Like, that's our identity. Like, and that's okay. And that can be very successful. If I was to dig deep and say, well, why would they occasionally lose to teams that are not as good, trap games that you call them or whatever, perhaps their puck management, because they want to be creative, they get almost too confident, too creative, and get a little bit loose in those moments. But, you know, that would just be me kind of guessing, but I don't think it's got to do with identity. I mean, I think right now they're not feeling very good about themselves, but in past years, they've been a good team. They know who they are. That's how the NHL works. Like, Vegas loses to bad teams, and Montreal loses to bad, and Tampa loses to bad teams. Like, it happens. It's not just Toronto. We just make more of it. We just make a bigger deal of it because of the Leafs.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's what we do. We'll get you out on this one here. Leafs in Carolina tonight taking on the Hurricanes, who are undefeated. One of four teams still undefeated on the year. Carolina, Edmonton, St. Louis, and Florida. Of those four teams, Johnny, which one do you think is the most legit?
I would probably... Ooh, that's a good question. Can I just pick one? I mean, I think the two teams in the East, if I had to pick, Florida and Carolina, yeah, would both be cup contenders to me. I think in one of my fantasy previews, I picked both those teams together. They're both like plus 1,100 to win a cup as good value propositions. I think they might have lasting power. St. Louis off to a great start. And Edmonton, they're really good. Their power play is frightening. If you want to watch a good power play, just tune in to Edmonton. It's gross how good they are. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick, I'd pick Florida and Carolina as kind of the two with they're all good. Those two are a little bit better in my mind right now.
Yeah, and I was one of those smart people who, I guess, were also on the Hurricanes bandwagon, and I was able to get them at like plus five.
Humble brag.
Plus 550, plus 600 to win the Metro, and now I think it's hovering around like plus 230 or something like that. So, listening to Mystic Mike and Al's brother sometimes works. Sometimes it doesn't. O-Dog will tell you that. But we went 1-3 this weekend, Johnny, when it came to the football picks. Wasn't great for Team Al. We got one, and it was the Colts. The Colts came through with a big win, and I even predicted the money line. So you can almost count that as two wins. MJ, once again, thank you so much for joining us. Always a treat every Monday.
Have a great week.
Have a good one, Mike.
There he goes, Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. I understand what he's saying.
I get it.
Every team loses to, like, every good team has a bad day.
Especially his point to how it's hockey. Hockey is, we sit here and we analyze it for an hour every single day. But hockey is a beast in terms of its difficulty to predict and, like, circumstances on the ice and just how tight the whole league is. Because Buffalo's beating teams, legit teams.
Take a look at that game against Pittsburgh. You talk about randomness, and everybody, if you look at the stats, and I think Jack Campbell allowed like five goals on 25 shots or 26 shots or something like that. But a bunch of those goals early on were just like deflections, right? Realistically, Drew O'Connor's first goal just went off his hip. Right, that was a deflection. Timothy Liljegren's goal goes off his foot. That was a deflection. The Matheson goal.
Timothy Liljegren's goal.
Not Timothy Liljegren's goal.
It was
his goal, but that goal went off of a deflection. Like, so in a way, this game is very random, and it's a game of bounces and the puck.
Totally.
It's played on ice, man. It's people on knives on ice. It's super weird with this rubber puck bouncing around.
Yeah.
It is bizarre sometimes, but I just feel like this team consistently plays down to opponents and plays up to opponents,
100%.
And they don't play their own style 100%. Of game. That's what I feel. I mean, Johnny has his different opinions,
totally.
But I don't understand why the Leafs can't go out and they never establish themselves and establish the game. They play to their opponent, and I feel like that, to me, is a bit of a lack of identity. They can play defensively structured, but it's ever so often that they find themselves falling into patterns of what the other team is trying to do and keeping up with them.
And it's not like it was just 4-2, one empty netter, you lose to this Penguins team on a couple fluky goals. It was 7-1. Like, it was 7-1. They didn't just lose lowercase letters. They lost. They got slapped. So it's the way that they lose these games in that fashion, I think, that makes it this kind of recurring theme. You always compare it to the David Ayers game, right? When you talk about embarrassing losses, David Ayers, great guy, excellent Zamboni driver. That's always the game that you compare the embarrassing factor to. Where does that Pens game fall for you?
It's not quite there.
It's not there for me.
Everyone
was saying it was there. It's not there for me either.
But it is an extremely embarrassing loss. And
totally.
The thing that sucks is now tonight you go into Carolina and it's like, okay, how does this team respond? And they're going up against an undefeated team, one of the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
If they don't respond well, I'm not so sure it's because they didn't wake up.
I know Johnny laughed at me, but I don't see them just folding like a cheap lawn chair.
No,
right
on
the gates, because
to.
Carolina's going to come out hot, so they're going to match that energy, is the prediction that I have, and I would love to see.
Did you also see the amazing troll job that the Carolina Hurricanes...
Oh my God, the Canes are the best.
So, David Ayer is going to be in attendance tonight.
Yeah, of course he is.
Like, how can you possibly allow that to happen?
Like, I don't know. We were also talking, does David Ayer still work for the Marlies?
I would assume so.
Like, is he still their Zamboni driver?
I would assume.
Because he, like, is rocking some pretty sweet brand endorsement deals right now. I don't know if he's still driving the old Boney, but...
Well, he's gone Hollywood now, right? He's got there's going to be a movie or a book about him. But he's just, like, a Carolina folk hero for coming in and getting that win against the Maple Leafs.
Do you think they'll have him, like, sounding the siren? Is it a siren that they have in Carolina?
It's something like that.
There's a crank. Yeah. We're both cranking our arms like people can see us right now.
It's just such a troll job. Like, that's what Carolina does best. They're the biggest trolls in the NHL.
So good.
Like, the whole Montreal Canadiens cocking the Emmy thing.
Yeah, I read Sarah Sivian watched this weekend's game with the Canes social media team. And I read her article in The Athletic. It was really good. If you haven't read it, go read it. But it gives you insight as to, like, how the Canes are able to be such trolls, because the GM, which is totally unheard of. I worked on TSN's social media team, and this is not the norm. Or I still work on TSN's social media team. This is not the norm. But the GM and the president of the league include the social media team in their plans to, like, trade players to maybe try and give somebody an offer sheet. So they're armed to be this troll, the ultimate troll that the Canes are. Right?
Interesting.
Isn't that cool? Like, that's a high level of trust between the social media team. Everybody makes a joke like, oh, who gave the intern the social media account? Just let me be clear. The social media intern is never running the account. Like, there is someone with a salary who probably has a family running the account. So stop tweeting that it's an intern.
Let's hit the break here. We got Jonah Siegel coming up from The Athletic on the other side. I'm Mike DiStefano. She's Julia Tesheri. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. I need you to hold.
Leafs Lunch is brought to you in part by LeaseBusters. It's so easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace, LeaseBusters. Avoid early penalties and early termination. Go to LeaseBusters.com. I'm Julie Tesheri. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch. Got Al's brother with me. On the phone, we have Jonah Siegel, Leafs reporter for The Athletic. If you haven't yet, go check out Jonas's Monday morning Leafs report in The Athletic. Did a great job. Jonas, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys?
Pretty good. It must be even better for you. I read through your Leafs report this morning. You decided that it was time, or you thought that it was time, to break up Matthews and Marner. Keefe, well, I'll assume he only listened to you,
Jonas,
right?
Jonas is
it was
all
your idea.
Well, hold on. Jonas is all about breakups. Before we get into that, he's for
Oh, my God.
Breakups,
every time.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Jonas Siegel broke up his partnership with Mark Masters the most gutless way possible. Jonas,
you know what?
You would be the type to break up with someone over text, right?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think you've had a chance to come on the station to actually address this breakup, which has swept all of 1050 over the last little bit, and all of TSN, really. What do you make of all of that? What really went down? Is that how it happened? Did you just send a text, and your first response to your good friend CJ getting a job, you're like, good, now I have a decent trivia partner?
I'm just going to say a couple things. Number one, it did not go down exactly as CJ suggested, but more or less the story is true. And I'll bring it back to Julia's point about Matthews and Marner. Sometimes you just got to do what's best for the team. And sometimes, like, a little break, you know, when you're not getting results, like, you kind of have to look around. You have to say, like, what's best for the team? And Mark knows, like, he's a pal. I love him. He does an amazing job. But ultimately, we didn't beat a team of Hayes and O-Dog, and that's frankly not good enough. And so I look at Matthews and Marner, and to me it just makes sense to give this a break. It just feels a little stale, and it felt a little stale in the playoffs last year, and it kind of feels the same way. So maybe you take a little break. You get Nylander playing with Matthews. You get Marner playing with Tavares. You ease a little bit of pressure on Marner and see if you can get those guys going. Like, I don't think this will be permanent unless it really takes off. Like, I think we'll see these guys back together soon. But for the time being, I think it makes plenty of sense.
Well, when Marner's at his best, like, what's he doing out there?
He's got the puck on his tape all the time,
yeah.
And he's dancing, and he's looking across. He's scoping out opportunities across the ice. He's skating. You know what the difference is, like how it looks to me and how it kind of looked at the end of last year, is in his first few years in the league, and even last year, he just looks free. Like, he looks like he's just having fun. And mm-hmm. He's not overthinking it. And right now, and even, like, I hate to keep referencing last year, like, there should be, like, a moratorium on that stuff at some point. But he just looks a little tight. And I think maybe changing things up will be the answer to changing that. I don't know. Like, yeah, you couldn't not do anything. I don't think that's the way things went the other night.
Jonas, the Leafs brought in Greg Harden this summer to be the Leafs' mental coach, and he's worked mm-hmm. with a bunch of star-studded guys. From what you just said, it sounds like you kind of have the same feeling that we do about Mitch Marner. This obviously isn't a talent issue. It feels more like a confidence issue or a mental issue. Do you have any insight as to how that relationship has been going between Harden and the Leafs so far?
I don't. I only know what has been talked about publicly and what's been written about. Josh Cloak for The Athletic wrote a really good story, I thought, about that.
Yeah.
I'm just always a little bit, and I told Josh this at the time, like, I'm a little skeptical of those things just because you take the person and you say, well, Greg Harden's worked with Tom Brady. Like, and that's the reason Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And I think there's a correlation thing that I sometimes am a little skeptical of. Like, just because he's had success with Michael Phelps and
yeah.
Tom Brady, and those guys become champions, and so he'll just come here and these guys will become champions. Like, I don't think it's that simple. Like, they're all individuals. They're all different personalities. I think it makes sense to bring in someone like that to try to address what's going on. But I think it's a good reminder of how hard it can be to play here, especially when you're from here.
Yeah.
And when, like, you have, like, this pressure just from being here and knowing the history and everything like that. And I honestly, like, the contract still feels like a big part of the story. I don't know that that's totally fair. It's partly fair, but it just feels like it's all these things that have kind of snowballed for Mitch Marner. And he's still an exceptional player. He just hasn't looked like it yet. But that can change with one game. Like, he could have 4 assists tonight, and we'll look and we'll say, he's fine.
Totally. So how important is it to get a response from the big boys, the core four, especially in tonight's game against a pretty good Carolina team?
I mean, like, this is the part I'm struggling with, is, like, how much do we react to what happened on Saturday? Like, how much of it is overreaction? How much of it is fair? Like, we're 6 games in the season. Like, is the sky falling already? Like, it feels a little, I don't know, like, jittery and understandable that the fans and media are kind of on edge. But, like, you can't win. They're not built to win if those guys aren't great. Like, that's the way they're structured. They're structured in a way that those 4 guys are eating so much of the cap that if they're not good, and if they're not great, like, this team isn't going to be very good. So you look right now, and Marner, Tavares, Matthews, I mean, collectively, what are those guys earning? Like, 30-some-odd million?
Yeah.
And they've got 1 goal and 4 assists through 6 games, and obviously Matthews only played half of those games, but, like, that's not going to be good enough. And I think that will change. I don't expect this offensively to continue. They've had, like Sheldon Keefe was saying today, they've had plenty of chances. At some point, this will break through, and then they'll be fine. But right now, like, they haven't produced, and that's where they're at.
In conversation with Jonas Siegel of The Athletic, going into Carolina tonight, obviously they need to have a big response, but what do you think is going to be kind of the key to having that success tonight against a pretty talented Carolina group?
Do you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see that power play be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at certain points, and even in that game on Saturday, I forget the days, like, they had opportunities for their power play to come through and change the game, and it didn't. And obviously that goes back... Again, I hate to keep doing it, but it goes back to last year, where it's like really key points of that series against Montreal, where they have opportunities to change games, and their power play not only doesn't get chances, it's a complete momentum sapper. And I thought we saw last Monday night against New York, their power play actually looked pretty good, and you could kind of see what Spencer Carberry is trying to do with getting different threats and not just making it about Matthews. So I'd like to see their power play get on track and start to show some of the potential that we've seen from it in very small glimpses.
Well, Sheldon Keefe was very, I think it was on Friday night, he was really harping on that power play and how he said that they just weren't on the same page, they're fighting it, not executing. A lot of the same stuff we saw last season, end quote. And to me, like, I'm watching that power play, and I'm not so sure that Mitch Marner is a great fit in the bumper role. What have you made of that spot for
Nobody
him?
Else has said that yet either.
Well, I'm just saying, like, what have you made of it? Like, do you think we've seen Sheldon Keefe now shake up the lines at 5-on-5, right? The top six now shaken up. Like, at what point do you make a switch here on the power play?
Okay, so two things. Number one, when you say, like, he doesn't fit in that position, okay, well, where would you like him to go?
Because If you're asking me, I've toyed with the thought of a 5-forward power play unit and have him be the quarterback. Like, he has the vision and the hands to be able to do that, I believe.
Come on, let's be realistic. They're not going to do that.
but they should.
I don't know that they should. And so, like, let's say they keep it conventional. They've tried him on both those flank spots. Like, I think this new position makes sense. It's just new. Like, this is, he just started playing it this fall, and we're in, like, the middle of October, so he's had a month at it, like, and they've only had a few games where Matthews has been there. I would leave it. I think it makes sense. Like, we saw him on that flank for the entirety of his league career, and it worked at actually in the beginning of his career when they had a different kind of look on their power play. But to your second question, stay with it. This is what happened last year, is obviously they started really hot and then they cooled off, and then they just kept changing things all the time. Like, they've got to give this time, and they've got to give this new setup and these new positions a good chunk of time to get reps, to get comfortable. Like, we're talking about Marner, he's in a new position, he's trying to figure that out. Like, this can work, and I've always thought Marner can be like Nazem Kadri used to be in that role, where you don't necessarily need the best shot or the most powerful shot. You just need to pounce on opportunities. And Kadri scored a whole bunch of goals from there. I just think they need to be patient. I think what's gotten them in the past is they've just been too jittery and changed things too quickly.
We've got Jonas Siegel from The Athletic on Leafs Lunch right now. Jonas, you wrote about the importance of the Leafs scoring first tonight. They've given up the first goal in 5 of their 6 games. They've lost 4 of them, obviously. How important is it for this team to come out and score the first one and come out just at least looking really good in front of a really hot PNC Arena? You know, it's going to be rocking in there tonight.
Yeah, it's just hard to play from behind all the time, right? Like, you can't do it. And when you're always chasing the game, you're always chasing the game. And so we've seen that in just about every game where they get scored on first and some of the goals haven't been great. Like, you think of some of the San Jose game. And obviously, it wasn't the first goal, but the second goal in Pittsburgh wasn't great. Needs to be stopped. It's just, especially at a point like this where it feels a little crisis-y. And again, like, it's so early in the year, but that's how it feels. You get scored on first, and it's just like, oh, here we go again. And like you mentioned, Julia, like, that crowd is legit. Like,
yeah.
You can feel it in there. Some buildings aren't like that. Carolina is, like, legitimately, there's an atmosphere. So obviously for them, like, at some point, like, if I was a bettor, and I was, brother, you like to gamble. Like, if I was betting, I would bet Austin Matthews to score tonight. Like, it just feels like that's going to happen at some point, and why not bet it tonight?
On his buddy Freddie, too. It feels poetic to me.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
So I think at some point, like, this is going to break. Like, they've had, like, Sheldon Keefe was talking about it today, like, some of the underlying numbers for them are just, like, off the charts. Like, they've had tons of chances and just not converted. And with players like this, eventually those will go in.
Well, I was having a conversation with Noodles today, and he thinks that the Leafs have the upper hand going up against Freddie Anderson. Like, they kind of have the book on him. So you would think that should result in kind of the goal eruption coming into tonight, wouldn't you?
Well, and you would think, like, that there's an extra bit of, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but maybe nerves for Frederick Anderson going against his old team. And obviously he started so well in Carolina. Maybe, I don't know. Like, who knows how he'll perform. It's interesting that that's the way he's kind of started there. It's good for him, obviously, given last year. Is he going to have a .944 save percentage the whole year? Probably not. So we'll see.
In conversation with Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. Jonas, I got to ask you a question about Jake Muzzin, because He has not played particularly well to start the year. Very uncharacteristic, misplays, giving the puck away, goals, legitimately coming off his stick. Is he playing hurt? Like, what's your vantage point of what's hindered Muzzin so far early this season?
I have no information nor from the team that suggests he's playing hurt. So, I'm assuming he's healthy. He's just not on a great start, and he's looked. When they signed that extension, I think it was February 2020, it was 4 years. You looked at it and you said, in the last couple of years, he's going to be in his, he'll be 33, 34. And you think, given the nature of his game, what's that going to look like? And so your fear right now is, is that happening now in year two of the contract? And obviously, it's so early in the year. You don't want to overblow these things. He's just looked a little like that. He's just looked a little creaky and a little slow to make decisions and a little just not himself. And that's a really difficult position for the Leafs because he plays such an important role, obviously, on that pair with Justin Hall. And you start to think, if this doesn't work, what do they do? Because they don't really have the pieces. If that pairing can't handle top lines, they don't really have another option short of completely blowing up their defense and trying something entirely different. So they just need him to get on track. And I anticipate that happens at some point, just because the past couple of years, he and Hall have had such a great track record playing difficult minutes. So you would assume at some point that happens, but it's just kind of it's a tough spot for the coaching staff because Muzzin in some ways allows Justin Hall to play in that spot. He props him up. That's why you pay Jake Muzzin $5 and change, is to make someone better. And if he can't make someone better at that point, then you have some really difficult questions about your defense. And again, we're not even done with October. I'm expecting Jake Muzzin to be fine. But the start has obviously been concerning.
Yeah, on the ice for 9 goals against, I think, just 2-4. So that's not ideal. That's at 5-on-5. So,
well, and like you mentioned, half of those, maybe not half of those, but 4 or 5 of them are just really weird goals.
Yeah. Well, hockey is such a random sport, but.
Right. But there's other stuff that just doesn't look very Jake Muzzin-y, and that's what's kind of eye catching.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just for example, I mean, I went and I took a look and I broke down kind of the goals that were scored in that Pittsburgh game. Muzzin, giveaway in the offensive zone. Matheson blows past him and takes it to the net for a wraparound. Not a great goal, but again, that's kind of, Jake Muzzin can't allow that to happen. The 5-1 goal, Muzzin whiffs at the puck in the neutral zone and then isn't able to connect on that hit along the boards. A 3-2 ensues. Rodriguez gets an open look off the slot, off the rush, and it's 5-1. So it's just uncharacteristic plays by Jake Muzzin has kind of really been plaguing this team. Turnovers in general, not even just Muzzin, but turnovers in general really plaguing this team. And they're just not, the transition game has been...
Their details just seem to be off.
Yeah, the details,
completing tape-to-tape passes, such a fundamental thing, but just seems to be off for the Leafies right now.
Well, and the other thing is, the Brody-Riley pair has not been great either.
Yeah.
So now, it's everything feels a little dicey. I can say they obviously have to keep things the same and kind of let them play out a little bit. I'm not super concerned at this point, but if 3 weeks from now we're still talking about this, then I think if you're management, you start to get a little antsy and you start to say, how do we fix this? What do we do? And that creates some bigger questions.
All right, Jonas, really appreciate taking the time for us, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there goes Jonas Siegel, Leafs reporter for The Athletic. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. She's Julia Tesheri. We got the Leafies coming up next. The Leafies. And you're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. Watermelon sugar
high. Watermelon sugar high. Guys, I've got the easiest way to win Leafs tickets. Follow at TSN 1050 on Instagram. Find our latest giveaway post. Tag who you'd bring to see the Leafs versus the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday, November 2nd. And a winner will be announced Thursday here on Leafs Lunch. I'm Julia Tesheri from Bar Down. I've got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, with me. He's from Overdrive. You guys know him. He's the betting guy. If you're just tuning in, Sheldon Keefe has absolutely throwing the lines in a blender, just like I think a lot of people were expecting to see. We saw him do it when things started to go south on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Top line looking like Bunting, Matthews, Nylander. Second line looking like Kerfoot, Tavares, Marner. Another notable thing from practice this morning, Mrazek took part in Leafs morning skate. Thursday will be 2 weeks since that groin injury.
And that was roughly-ish. They said like 2-3 weeks. They didn't really
give
a timeline,
said around,
but
I think 2 weeks was kind of the expectation. So good to see him getting back on the ice.
Absolutely. And Nick Ritchie, fourth line. Now.
Nick Ritchie, fourth line. I didn't highlight that, but that's important. The fourth line looks like Ritchie, Spezza, Simmons, which I've liked the two-thirds of that line. Nick Ritchie obviously has a little bit to prove. And we'll talk about that right now, because on Mondays, we hand out the Leafies. No one's really deserving of our big awards, but we'll do the Leafies anyways.
Honor. Prestige. A celebration of...
The waitress tripped on the cord.
Presenting the Leafies, a celebration of leafness.
What am I going to do with the award? Nothing. That's the least of my concerns right now.
On TSN 1050, the Leafs live here.
So I feel like this is a really genuine Leafies, because obviously the Leafies is a rip on the Dundies from The Office. And it feels like we're handing out awards kind of the way Michael Scott would right now, because it was a little bit tough this weekend. You want to start here, AB?
Yeah, we're starting off with the Carlisle, the Reimer, he's okay, just okay player award. And we're going to give this one to John Tavares. You know, he was okay, just okay, which actually meant that he was one of the best players on the ice this weekend. Sadly enough, I liked his game, particularly in San Jose. I thought that he played well.
Yeah. Rewarded for it.
Strong.
Whoa, you know when we talk about scoring half a goal?
Is that half a goal?
To me, that was half a goal.
Because it just went off his body?
Yes.
But it'll be interesting to see if he and Marner tonight can kind of recapture that chemistry. Like, he scored 47 the one year that they were together, his first season in Toronto. We'll see if that can happen again. Happy birthday to Wendell Clark, by the way.
The legend, 55 today.
Giving away the Wendell. Who are you giving the Wendell to?
The Wendell's going to go to Spezza. He was the heart and soul. He's leading the Leafs in scoring, just like everyone predicted to start the season, right? That Spezza would be the scoring leader on the Leafs. Simmer, obviously, you got to give Wayne Simmons a shout out too. I was kind of expecting him to go in that 7-1 game. I was watching the game with my boyfriend, and he was like, but who is Simmons going to fight on this AHL team? Brian Boyle was up to the task, so... no real true winner of the Wendell this week, but Spezza and Simmons are as good as we have to offer.
Yeah, and we're going to give away a new award. We're going to give away the Toskala, which is the worst play of the game. You guys recall Vesa Toskala's infamous goal from center ice against the Islanders. It was brutal. And to me, there's kind of two options here. Hutchinson's goal that he gave up to Timo Meier Friday night was abysmal from the half wall. That can't happen. That was brutal. And then Muzzin's missed hit on Gensel after giving the puck up, leading to that 5-1 goal, which really sealed the deal for the Maple Leafs in the game against Pittsburgh. So those are the two that I'm giving the Toskala to. You want to go to school real quick?
Not really, but I'm going like I do. like I did in university. Here I go.
Al's Brothers School of Degeneracy returns, as we always do on game days. Toronto in Carolina tonight. The money line actually changed. We were speaking with Mike Johnson earlier. At the time, last night when I looked at it, they were dead even. Toronto's pulled ahead just ever so slightly at now plus 100. So Carolina favored to win the game. The puck line, you can get Carolina -1.5 at plus 210. The over-under is at 6. And you chat about, is this the night that Austin Matthews finally gets on the score sheet with a goal? If you think that's the case, plus 110. So he's now finally in plus money territory for the first time this season to score a goal. On the Hurricane side, I kind of like Andrei Svechnikov to get a goal.
I always like Svech. He's one of my faves.
At plus 225, that is just tremendous, tremendous value to me. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike DiStefano for Julia Tesheri. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at noon. You've been listening to Leafs Lunch. Gameplay with Matt Cause next.